This is Doug Miller. You know, sometimes the Lord has to slap us around a little bit to get our attention, doesn't he? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue, and we are back with you again one more time this side of eternity with the Word of God in hand. I don't know how long it will be our privilege to continue with this ministry, but as long as the Lord leaves us here and gives us the means to do it by His grace, we will continue with this because it is the Word that brings life, light, sureness, safety, certainty, the enjoyment of our Lord, and all these good things. So come along with us. Bring your Bibles. We are in the 8th chapter of Acts, and I think you will find it very, very profitable. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists strictly and solely and only for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it, to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we are utterly and absolutely dependent upon our listeners and those with an interest in this ministry for your prayers, for your support, for your word of mouth advertising. Please stand behind us. And of course, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, let's see what else I can tell you. Well, we have a web page. I keep telling you this because I want to, and I want you to hear it and to make use of it absolutely free. As with anything else we do, your name does not go on a mailing list. We do not come back and hit you up for money. You've heard me say it before. I will keep saying it. We will go off the air before we go in that direction. Not going to do it. Now, our webpage is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, dialogueministries.org. You can pull down our broadcasts and listen to them. The broadcasts of me and Mark Hitchcock and me. Is that better? Okay. At our recent prophecy conference down at Camp Klassen are on there. You can listen to those. And you can email us if you would like by simply going in there and our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Now, before I get to our subject, let me make a little announcement here that is of some interest to me and I hope will be of some interest to some of you here. Let me begin by I'm just going to toss some names out here. How about if we do it this way? John Darby. George Mueller, Sir Robert Anderson, C.I. Schofield, H.A. Ironside, Watchman Nee, Jim Elliot. How's that for a list of names? Question, what do all these men have in common? Well, you say they were all Christians and very powerful and very influential and so on and so forth. And that's true. But they've got something else in common. The answer is that they were all associated one way or another with a group of believers who are known simply as the Brethren. And I don't know. There are a lot of groups out there calling themselves the Brethren. These are sometimes called Plymouth Brethren, although they don't call themselves that. All right. Now, I tell you that for this reason, The guy talking to you over the air here has been associated with the Brethren for many, many years, much to my profit and much to my joy. I am in the process. Some of you have written me or called or said, do you pastor a church anywhere? No, I don't. Not going to. If you've listened to me very long on here, you realize that the pastor of the church is something I don't believe is New Testamental. But nevertheless, those of you who do, we won't quibble. I do teach, however, and have taught for many years among the Brethren. If you are in the Edmond area, I am in the process, along with some others, of seeing a New Testament assembly, a group of the Brethren established in Edmond, Oklahoma. If you are the least bit interested in this, if you have no church, if you are in this area, if you are a born-again believer and you wish to be in a place where you can take part in some really good, solid Bible teaching and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, I'd love to hear from you. And we would invite you to come along. If you are the least bit concerned about what you will be taught, well, if you've been listening to Dialogue for any length of time at all, you realize that you're not going to get anything weird or strange out of me or out of any of the Brethren. And, of course, those names that I just rolled off earlier should be sufficient to convince you of this. What you will get is solid, sound Bible teaching. So, if you are the least bit interested in coming out and meeting with us and being a part of this effort, I'd love to hear from you. And, of course, you've got my mailing address and the email address, and I would give you a phone number, but I don't have it right here with me. Email me. We'll guide you in the right direction. All right, 8th chapter of Acts. Let's see what we can get done here. We noticed, remember at the first of the broadcast, I said sometimes God has to slap us around a little bit to get our attention. You know, it's easy to get very comfortable in the Christian life, particularly in a situation such as ours, where we are not really persecuted and we are not really troubled on every side, as Paul was. And we can just kind of settle down and take it easy and cruise along and ride along and generally be taken care of. You know, you go to church, we got a pastor there. He's the one that has to study the Word and get up and preach it and teach it. That is not really always such a good idea. Sometimes we have to look beyond our circumstances and our immediate small enclosure and look out to the fields white to harvest and look out and say, you know, I need to be doing something. What is it? Well, what has the Lord called you to do? To occupy, you know, a pew in church? Or are there other things? Are there things for you to do and places for you to go? I want you to look back at Acts 1:8 and see what the Lord Jesus told those men back in the first chapter, right? One of the last things he said before he ascended back to heaven. They had asked him, if you will recall, about the kingdom. Will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? The Lord said, that is not for you to know, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now think of that. Think of what these, here a group of men, not particularly well educated, fairly parochial. I doubt any of them had ever been outside the immediate borders of Israel, where he was speaking to them at the time. And he is telling these men, you will be witnesses unto me to the uttermost part of the earth. Obviously, it was God's will for this gospel message, for this good news, for the news of the resurrected, glorified Christ, that he died for our sins and was buried and rose again. It was obviously God's will for this message to go out to the ends of the earth. But how are they going to get this message out there? Now, we've been looking in the book of Acts at a period of time, roughly a year, in which the assembly in Jerusalem has been growing. There have been a lot of people added to it, a lot of people saved, and yet here they are in Jerusalem. So far, everything that's gone on has gone on in Jerusalem, among Jews, not a Gentile among them. God said, or the Lord Jesus said, take this message out to the ends of the earth. One of the last things that Jesus is recorded as having said in the Gospel of Matthew, you know very well what he said, don't you? Go ye into all nations and teach them, teaching them, you know, the things that I have taught you, baptizing, so on and so forth. Go into all the world. And yet here they sit in Jerusalem. Now, if you are anything like me, you probably from time to time read the Bible, and from time to time you are looking at your situation, and maybe you are convicted from time to time, and you're saying, you know, really, I would be willing to do, I just don't know what to do. But here I am. Or maybe you're one of those individuals, you're not challenged about anything in particular, and you don't want to be. Maybe you like the comfortable pew. Well, if you are at all concerned about what you can do for the Lord, the thing for you to do is start praying. I want you to notice in this 8th chapter of Acts what we have here. We have a great persecution that breaks out against the church after the stoning of Stephen. We have this man, Saul of Tarsus, introduced to us. He is making havoc of the church. He's dragging men and women into prison. There was a great persecution. Now, I don't know of any of us probably in our right minds who are looking for persecution. I know this. Paul wrote to Timothy in the second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 12, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I know that he wrote to the Philippians at the end of chapter 1 of his letter to the Philippians, unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. I know that Paul prayed for himself, once again, a prayer he recorded in Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, we may all hear these verses, and we may all acknowledge that these things are true, and we may even, be convicted somewhat about that. I know that many times I have thought of myself, and I don't know that I've ever suffered any persecution for the Lord Jesus' sake, but I know that my identity with Christ means that sooner or later, one way or another, in ways that I don't even understand or know at this time, I have got to be identified with him, even to the point of suffering and being persecuted. Look at these believers in Jerusalem. They get run out of Jerusalem. They get tossed out. They were scattered abroad, we read in verse 4. And having been scattered abroad, what did they do? They went everywhere preaching the word. Once again, what does it take? What does it take to reach you and me, to get us out of the comfortable pew? Is it persecution? Then here it comes. You can get ready for it. I don't know how it's going to come or in what the form it's going to take, but the Lord has a plan for you, and if you are at all identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, you may have prayed many times, oh, Father, make me like your Son Jesus. Conform me to his image. Fine. What a wonderful prayer. But understand what you're asking. You're asking to be identified with him in his suffering, in his persecution, in his rejection. You're asking to be like the Son of God, who was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was rejected in this earth. We can expect nothing more and nothing better. All right? And of course, Here, this is the method. This is how God got these people out of this comfortable situation they were in. He jolted them. He kicked them out. He ran them out. And I think, you know, some of us at least understand kind of what that is. You get real comfortable, the Lord can uproot you. He can do it. Praise God. Well, we've got something new going on in the 8th chapter of Acts, and let's get right on into it. We will just not have a lot of time here, but we have got, up to now, we have had nothing but Jews involved in the church. We now get, in verse 5 of the 8th chapter of Acts, something new going on, something that many of these Jews could not have imagined. We've now got a group of Samaritans that get involved in this. Now, Samaria, and these Samaritans, these individuals were the Mishlings, you know. They were the mongrel race. They were the ones the Jews despised and looked down on. And, of course, they despised and looked down on the Jews, too. It was a two-way street. Hatred and the misunderstanding, it went both ways. It went both ways. But we're going to get something new now. Something that these Jewish disciples could never have imagined. You remember back in the 4th chapter of John's Gospel, the woman at the well that the Lord Jesus meets, and she's a Samaritan, and he says, "Give me a drink of water." And she says to him rather hostily, I'm sure, "Why are you asking me for a drink of water, Jew? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. I don't want anything to do with you, nor do you want anything to do with me." That's the way that is. And even when the disciples came back, they saw him talking to her, and they couldn't understand it. Why is he talking to this Samaritan? Remember the story that the Lord Jesus told that we call the story of the Good Samaritan? Very interesting story in that, you know, any good Jew would probably bristle at the idea that it was this Samaritan that had mercy and compassion on the man. Well, here we have a man named Philip. We encountered Philip back in the 6th chapter of Acts. He was one of the deacons that was picked out along with Stephen to wait tables. You remember that one? Well, we find out here with Philip that he was far more than a table waiter, just like Stephen was. We found that out about Stephen back in the 7th chapter of Acts, didn't we? He could wait tables, and he didn't mind waiting tables. He was more than glad to be of service and of use. He wasn't offended by this. Stephen wasn't. And yet when the time came, he could preach powerfully, and he could teach, and he confounded those men in that synagogue. Well, here we have something we find out about Philip. Philip was an evangelist. He had an evangelical gift. Now, here he goes down to Samaria, down from Jerusalem, and to Samaria. And why did he go down there? Well, you can say, well, he got kicked out of Jerusalem along with the others up there in the first 4 verses of the 8th chapter. Yeah, probably. But notice he's all alone. No indication that anyone went with him. And I have to believe that he really was directed by the Lord. Now, the Lord said back in chapter 1, as I've already quoted, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria." You're going to Samaria. You Jews, you don't like Samaritans? Doesn't matter. That's where you're going, and you're going there with the gospel. And here goes one of them. Finally, the gospel message. After a year of germinating and growing in Jerusalem, it's going into Samaria. And you'll notice in verse 5 that Philip preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, these miracles that these individuals performed, I'll have more to say about this as we go along. The idea that God is sending miracles out with his evangelists today so that people can see these miracles and these signs and wonders and believe, I don't believe that's happening at all. In fact, if we walk by faith and not by sight, you've heard me say it before on here, And if you are asking for some kind of sign and miracle before you'll believe, shame on you. You are under the wrath and the condemnation of Almighty God. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, said Jesus to the Pharisees. But in the early days of Christianity, back in the early first century, in about 34 A.D., is when this happened, about then, at this time, God indeed sent people like Philip out with miracles that they could do in order to affirm this message, to get the attention of the people, and to show these people that indeed Judaism as such was no longer the vehicle God was using. The law over and done with, over and dead in this dispensation. Now people are being saved by believing the gospel. Here comes a man down from Jerusalem. His name is Philip. And here is a man, and he is doing signs and wonders. We look at this in verse 7. Unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. God begins to do a work among these Samaritans. Well, as soon as God gets to work, you can bet that the devil's going to get to work. And here we have immediately in verse 9, a guy named Simon. Simon the magician, Simon Magus. And notice how verse 9 begins with the little word but. But, yeah, there's always one of those here, isn't there? Something else is going on. There was great joy in the city, but there was this guy, Simon. He was a big man in this town, and he was a big man because he was a sorcerer, a magician, in league with the enemy, and in the power of darkness, and in the grip of darkness. And, of course, he is going to get involved here. And you'll notice here that he had bewitched the people. And they all gave heed to him. And they thought that that this was the power of God. In fact, it was nothing of the sort. And you'll notice that we have in verse 11, he had long time bewitched them with sorceries. Now, we're running out of time. I'm going to have to stop this message here pretty quick. We'll take it up, Lord willing, next time. And I would like for you to think about this. Here is the enemy, and he's going to throw down the gauntlet. He's going to play his hand. He will not give up without a fight and without a struggle. For those of you who are involved in doing works for the Lord, if you're out there doing something new, you can count on it. The enemy has his people too. Don't worry about them. Just take the case to the Lord, and he can break the power of the enemy, and he can and will overcome. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.